Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
You know, we're told in the last days, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And the thing about deceptions are, they look good. They look real. They look honest. They look sincere. Deceptions are never blatant, like a blatant enemy or a blatant bad situation. A deception is something that clearly tricks you. It's like the worm on the end of that hook. It looks good. It tastes good. Doesn't seem like there's going to be a consequence. And then bang, it happens. And this is what the Lord warns us about. Deceptions. Now, deceptions come in many forms, but you can deceive yourself, according to the gospel. How do you deceive yourself? It's easy to at least meditate on how somebody else is going to be deceptive to you, or how the situation might be deceptive, but deceiving myself, well, according to God's word in the book of James, Chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Don't get tricked into thinking you're some type of religious person because of your education or the amount of Bible verses you've memorized or by how holy you look. Or how good your kids are, or how many times you, attend whatever you attend. You could definitely be a hearer of the word. You could take the word in and never do it. You must put it into action. I was talking to a gentleman just yesterday. And he was asking me some advice. He says, I got a friend. He's drunk. Half the time he calls me, he's drunk. He talks about going to parties. He talks about women. Yet he keeps saying he's a Christian. What should I do? I told him, beware of him. Beware of him. You know, at the very least, he's deceiving himself. Maybe he does go to church. Maybe he does hear the gospel. But if he's not doing it, he's being deceived. And we know that the God of this world deceives, tricks. I told him to beware, lest the same spirit jump on you. No different than when Paul knew that that sexual demon of a man having sex with his own mother was in the church, and the church was all puffed up. Basically, Paul said, throw the bum out. That's what he said. Throw him out now. Don't you know how bad this is? Don't you understand? A little leaveneth, leavens the whole loaf. And then he doubled down and he said, I'm actually saying, hand this guy over to the devil to burn off his flesh. Yeah. You cannot put up with that type of manifested, blatant behavior if you're a Christian. No, you can't. You can't do it. Because then God's word is just lip service and God's word gets blasphemed. Yes. God wants obedience. He actually says obedience is better than sacrifice. And sacrifice is a form of repentance. And it says that in the Old Testament that he likes obedience better than sacrifice. Of course, repentance is part of it, the main part of it. But once you've repented, don't go back to the pig pen. Once you've repented, be obedient to the conviction. Once you've repented, walk the narrow gate, denying yourself. Yes, we're not to keep going back, thinking that grace is something sloppy, that where the Lord winks at us and just says everything's okay. No, you're going to be judged. You're not going to be saved by your works, but you will be judged by every work. We're told that in Revelation. Yes. But let me read this all together here. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. And what that means is abundance of naughtiness. And what naughtiness means is wickedness. Yes. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So in other words, get away from filthiness, wickedness, nastiness, and take on the engrafted word of God. It's engrafted into us, and it will save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And then he puts that deed on a narrow gate by explaining it to you. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. You know, and that's in James 1. In James 2, he goes on to talk about the tongue. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with very small helm. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Wow. And he tells us here in verse 26, chapter 1, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, bridles not his tongue. James liked to talk about the tongue a lot. He knew the danger of words and what the wrong words could do. We have to watch our tongue. It is a small member. I mean, we work with our hands. We are always walking with our legs. Our arms are always moving. Our backs are strong. Our backs were made to lift. Your arms, your backs, your hip are constantly working all the time. You know, if you're a working man. However, that little tongue, it works too. But that little tongue could set off the whole fire of hell. Iniquity, we're told. And here we go again with deception. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there again. You could say you're a Christian. You could say you're a Christian. But if you're not a doer of the word, you deceive your own self. We're kind of told here, you could be as religious as you want. You could say, but if you can't bridle your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. So deceptions, I believe, all of us have to look at ourselves first. Deceptions are staring us in the face every day we wake up. And just pray for the Holy Ghost conviction. It's a wonderful thing And I fail the test from time to time when I know the Holy Spirit tells me to shut up, Jim. Just shut up. Keep it moving. And I fall. I might get my last 2 cents in, or I'll get that little, jab in when I shouldn't be. No. And then I'll repent. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. It's not to be abused, and I'm not doing it willfully. I get weak, I fall. But thank God I get back up. That's the whole thing about the cross. It's just total mercy. That's why the Lord got so mad in that one parable where the king forgives the one man for all kinds of money. And then that one man gets out of jail and he had somebody just owe him a few cents. He ends up throwing him in jail because he owed him a few cents, even though that king had forgiven him so much. Well, it's the same with us. Our Savior has forgiven us so much that we better watch out among our family, among our peers. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a difference. You might have to stay away from people. You might have to cut off communications. But you know in your heart why you're doing that. You're doing that to save souls. You're not doing that out of bitterness or envy or hatred or revenge. That's a whole different story. That's a whole different story. I've had to cut off relationships. They just weren't going anywhere. And I was casting my pearls before swine. And hey, no hatred involved. I just go into prayer. I literally go into spiritual warfare, knowing that we do not fight flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. And it's real. And James goes on to say, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You know how I view that? Fatherless and people who are widowed are somewhat defenseless. A child without a father, and my son has told me this many times because he has 5 sons and he has 3 daughters. And he says, Dad, I don't know what these boys would be like without me on their rear ends half the time, you know. So, I mean, without that discipline, these kids are done for, to be fatherless. That's the job of a father, to correct. That's a form of love. The Lord chastens those that he loves. It's the same thing with a physical father. But the fatherless don't have a father. The fatherless need love. And widows, they've lost their covering. They've lost their husbands. Spiritually, this could go either way, spiritually or physically, in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's interesting. The lust of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And then James goes on to say, my brethren, do not have this faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. I don't care if they're dressed nice. I don't care if they're dressed like bums. They were all made in the image of God for God's glory. And if they don't know the Lord, you might be the only thing they have. So continue to pray for anybody that comes in your path. The Lord will sort it out. God bless you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Stay in the fight. And amen.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.com. .org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org. Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida. You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.